Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, racism, slavery, animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
We'd be living in a much different world right now if Hitler had a few more cobras and tarantulas. I'm Adam.
I don't care how proud she is of what the Crest whitening strips are doing for her. If that bitch comes in here one more time, I'm Andy.
$3 to kill my pet. Let me get back to you on that. My name's Sean.
Pandas. Cute, cuddly, and hungry for human flesh. I'm Kelly, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Acid Pop. Today we're going to be talking about zoos.
Zoos? Well, that's practically a palindrome.
He's my favorite Greek god.
That's what I was going to say.
You can both have the same favorite Greek god. Mm-mm. Etymology of zoos. It's short for zoological, from zoological garden.
Was that the original name for a zoo?
Yep.
Wow, that's long.
Some of them are still called zoological gardens in Europe, although I assume in other languages.
This is where we grow the giraffes.
Yeah. Somebody water the bear.
Oh, that's not a fun job. Zoological comes from zoology, or the science of animals. Mm-hmm. From Greek zoion, meaning animal, and logia, meaning study.
Zoion?
Zoion. Oh. Z-O-I-O-N.
Isn't that where all the Jewish people are supposed to live?
I could have sworn you were going to make a Robert Loggia joke.
I thought that was the last bastion of humanity in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Words can mean many things, people. So we've already actually touched on this phobia. It's zoophobia, or the fear of animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing new about it this time.
I feel like I'd be less afraid of them if they're in a cage.
Was that from our invasive species animal episode?
It was.
Aha.
You've been paying attention.
It's a callback.
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
There's always a quiz,
I know that
Andy.
There's going to be a quiz.
Every time. It is literally one of the few segments we have.
What?
That's why Andy never studies.
He doesn't need to, man. Andy has the best damn luck in those quizzes.
No kidding. Like, just a shot in the dark, it means exactly this.
Because I've got my Google Home ready to go.
Yeah. It's because he's studying to be a teacher. You got to know all this stuff.
Yep, you have to know everything to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Those kids could ask you anything, anytime.
That's why they're so highly paid.
Clearly, they get the respect they deserve.
All these things are true.
So for the purpose of this episode, we're going to call zoos a collection of animals that are open to the public. We're not going to talk about private collections of animals or anything like that, or like safari parks so much.
Mm. Okay.
We're also not going to get super into the morality of zoos, because that's a really complicated subject, but
I'm not going to swim those murky waters.
Yeah.
Free the penguins of Madagascar.
Because this is Acid Pop, we will be touching a bit on the dark side of zoos. But yeah, zoos aren't an ideal environment for animals, but they also serve an important role in conservation and education.
Mm-hmm.
Debate over.
We win.
Done. Who doesn't enjoy a vigorous one-sided debate?
So let's move on to our true and false. Everyone ready with their animal facts?
Yes. Yes.
Zoo-born elephants live less than half as long as their wild counterparts.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say false because they don't face the dangers of out of nature.
Yeah, but they also don't get to like run around and stretch their legs as much. So they're more prone to heart disease.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're more prone to twisted ankles.
I'm going to say that's true.
Adam is correct.
Oh, man.
No.
This is true, and it's weird.
Okay.
Most animals live longer in captivity.
Like me.
Yeah, I take very good care of
you. I'm an indoor boy.
But elephants are an exception. Captive-born elephants live 17 to 20 years, where wild elephants are known to live more than 50.
Wow.
You know, I kind of always assumed that elephants live to be like 100.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because they're big.
Additionally, on this, wild elephants who are brought to zoos live longer than elephants born in captivity.
Hmm.
And no one knows why.
Huh.
Suicidal elephants.
A zoo in China tried to pass sea cucumbers off as snakes.
I can't imagine you made that up, so I'm going to say true.
Yeah,
I don't know where that would have come from otherwise.
I gotta go with true.
Says Kelly, who's filling out a Mad Lib.
You're correct. This is true. They had sea cucumbers labeled as snakes, a Tibetan mastiff labeled as a lion, and a white fox as a leopard.
Why? Like, especially the snakes one, can't you go find some snakes? And aren't sea cucumbers a little bit more exotic?
Yeah, seriously.
People wanted to see snakes.
I just imagine
giving like people what they want.
Dried out lumps in a heated box.
Some guy's walking by is like, oh, cool, sea cucumbers. Really wish they were snakes, though. Come on, honey. And a guy's like, wait a second. Scribble, 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 slap.
They claim that the actual animals were out for breeding and the animals in the cages were just temporary replacements. You know how it is.
It's our stand-in.
Yeah. They had an asterisk after all the animals' names and it said substitute at the bottom in very tiny letters.
At least that mastiff has a cool job.
There was also a dog in the wolf exhibit, and they claimed that it was the wolf's pet.
There a wolf?
I can
there
believe that.
No wolf.
Oh.
The Dubai Zoo is the largest in the world, and we're defining largest as in terms of total number of animal species. True or false?
I've been to Dubai. It would not surprise me that they have the largest zoo.
Dubai has a lot of big stuff, but I'm going to say do buy yourself a different answer because it's false.
Yeah, I'm going to the old standby, the Sacramento Zoo, so I'm going to say false.
They have enough money that they could have the largest zoo, but it's also not a great place for a big zoo, but I'm going to say true.
That one is false.
Whew.
I just picked a place that sounded fancy. Their zoo, actually not that fancy, now closed and they're building a new one.
They had one house cat.
The Berlin Zoo at 1,500 species is the largest.
Oh, poor Sacramento.
It has 19,500 total animals, including Nut, the famous polar bear. He was part of the Berlin Zoo before he passed.
I've never heard of him.
Can't just be that Nut? Famous.
Oh, he's very cute. Or he was very cute.
Less cute now.
Oh, I'm sure they stuffed him and put him somewhere. I'm sure he's still adorable. The Bronx Zoo once kept a human on display in the early 1900s.
That's too much fun. It's got to be true.
Yeah.
They did it in like freak shows all the time, right?
Let's go with true.
Yeah, I'll say true.
That was right in the middle of the evolution versus creationism debate, so maybe somebody was trying to make a point.
Of course this is true. Orabanga, a Mbuti man from the Congo, was kept in the monkey house with an orangutan and a parrot.
Oh, man, that's so much worse than I was imagining.
In 1906. We're going to talk more about him later.
I suppose you get all the fruit you could eat, and you get to play with an orangutan.
Free healthcare.
During World War II, the London Zoo killed most of their large predators, such as tigers and bears, out of fear they might escape and attack the public.
Wow.
That's true. I'm pretty sure I've heard that. Or something about them. Maybe they didn't kill him, but...
If there's anything I know about zoos during disasters, I learned it from The Day After Tomorrow, and any predators will break out and chase you down a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say it's true.
Yeah, sure, true. Jump on the bandwagon.
This is false.
Aww.
However, they did kill all their venomous animals for exactly that reason.
weren't worried about tigers,
we're worried about snakes.
That's why we don't have any more venomous tigers.
Other than the animals they killed themselves, there were no deaths during the war at the zoo.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
I mean, well, not a lot of the animals fought in the war.
You know, if we had just weaponized the tigers, it would have been over earlier.
Like, it doesn't have a strategic thing, but I feel like when you're just bombing randomly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's a big slice of land.
Why would they specifically target a zoo? Like, that's just... That's mean, even for a Nazi.
No, but they didn't. They just flew over at night and just opened the bay doors.
Surely they had maps.
Weren't invented yet.
The thing that just said, zoo, leave alone.
Off but limits, no bombs here.
Hitler loves grizzly bears.
The London Zoo got off pretty well during the war, but war is really bad for zoos.
I'll bet.
So most recently, the Yemen Zoo faced absolute tragedy during their civil war. The Yemen government stopped paying for the upkeep of the animals.
Yeah.
And so there was no food, particularly meat, for the predators. Instead, they were left to starve to death.
Oh, so what about all those other animals?
Actually, an outside rescue organization raised the money to feed them and started feeding them. But then they decided to cut off the aid because the Yemen government refused to okay the animals for rescue, despite the fact that outside organizations were trying to take them in.
They were holding them hostage from themselves?
They were holding them hostage from themselves.
Okay.
And the reason they thought this might work is because the zoo had 28 Arabian leopards, which are a critically endangered species, and also like the patron species of Yemen.
Now they have two very fat leopards.
So I couldn't find information about how this all ended up shaking out in the end, but in early 2017, they'd already lost 6 leopards. And I'm not going to share images of this, but if you want to Google Yemen Zoo and war, you will see lots of big cats starving to death. It's very sad.
But you've got a perfect supply of dead bodies. Just like...
let's just give them human flesh.
That's never gone wrong before.
I'm sure the zoo the animal handlers will be very comfortable around those cats afterwards.
The London Zoo, which we just mentioned, is the oldest scientific zoo in the world, and it was predated by the Tower Menagerie at the Tower of London. And these next questions are about the Tower Menagerie.
I'm a menagerie.
The price of admission to the Tower Menagerie, located in the Tower of London, was 3.5 pence in the 18th century. If you didn't want to pay it, what could you bring instead?
An animal.
Something for the zoo.
Yeah.
Can of food for the poor.
I'm going to say a dead pigeon or a dead rat to feed the lions or something.
Yeah. Honey, do you want to feed the lions?
Adam, you pretty much got it. It was a cat or dog to feed to the lion.
Did it matter if it was alive or dead?
I don't think so, as long as it was still edible.
A lot of people going out the exit route with empty leashes.
Oh, no. I suppose it's a lot more fun if you bring them alive.
It's less work, I guess.
They walk themselves.
So the Tower Menagerie was established in the 1200s, and at different times it housed lions, leopards, elephants, a polar bear, which was allowed to fish in the Thames, and a grizzly.
That seems safe.
Yeah.
Why wasn't the grizzly allowed to fish?
Yeah.
Well, this is over a long span of time. Different rulers had different outlooks on the zoo or menagerie.
Where did they get a grizzly?
We'll get into that, actually. Okay. In 1255, an elephant was added to the Tower Menagerie. It died in 1258. What was it fed that is suspected to have hastened its demise?
Dogs.
Dogs and cats?
I don't know. Poison oak.
Moldy bread.
Too many peanuts. All they did was feed you peanuts.
Red wine.
You have a belligerent elephant.
Just what I want. A drunk elephant.
Stormed off one day and never came back.
That seems like a very expensive thing to provide to an elephant.
I know. Sutter home.
Yeah, it was just box wine.
In 1811, King George III was given a grizzly by the Hudson Bay Company.
Okay.
The first grizzly in England.
Yeah.
They neglected to put it on a leash or in a cage.
What did the king say he wished he'd received instead?
A hat.
An Indian.
A sun bear.
I'm going to give it to Sean. Cool. It was a tie or a pair of socks.
Well, seriously, they just gave the king a huge responsibility.
Yeah. Well, great. Give me a chore for my birthday.
Stupid bear.
Let's imagine him like sitting on his throne with his shoes off. They bring in this bear and he looks down at his socks full of holes and he's like, well, that's good too, I guess.
I guess a bear's all right.
So the bear was called Old Martin and he was considered remarkable for his size and ferocity, which makes sense.
Oh, good.
It's just the biggest, meanest bear anybody's ever seen. And then they loaded him full of wine.
Wine and puppies.
He apparently never warmed to his keepers. The note from the time being, he does not offer the slightest encouragement to familiarity on the part of his keepers, but treats them with as much distance as the most perfect strangers. And although he will sometimes appear playful and good-tempered, Yet they know him too well to trust themselves within his clutch.
What a cold bear.
Wear sunglasses.
Whatever happened to young Martin?
Martin's rolling a ball over to me. What do I do?
Don't.
Don't make eye contact.
I was riding a tiny bicycle.
In 1999, they found a lion cage in the Tower of London.
What's this doing here?
But there's no lions inside.
Keeping in mind that lions can grow to 2.5 meters or 8 feet, how big was the cage?
Smaller than that.
2 meters.
I'm going to say 5 meters.
I'm going to say 1.5.
Oh, those poor lions. It was 2 meters by 3 meters. So 6.5 feet by 10 feet.
So it could almost turn around.
A lot of room to spread your legs.
In 1831, the animals of the Tower Menagerie were sent to what's now the London Zoo, and the menagerie was closed. What animals still live at the tower to this day?
Oh, I think I know this one.
Ravens.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I think it's ravens.
You are all correct. Yeah. They still have ravens.
We saw them.
And they have had ravens since the 1660s.
Raisins.
Delicious.
Ah, we still keep raisins here.
They're nature's candy, you know.
According to legend, if the tower's ever without ravens, the monarchy will fall and Britain with it. The tower ravens are cared for by the official raven master.
Ooh, that's a good name.
I want that job.
He's got a Twitter account who gives them biscuits soaked in blood as treats.
Wow.
It's hardcore.
My own blood.
Since 1980, 3 ravens have been dismissed from service for conduct unbecoming tower residents.
Such as?
One of them was attacking TV aerials.
Like helicopters?
I think those are like cable dishes.
Oh, okay.
He was sent to Scotland.
That'll teach him.
We send all of our criminals before we send them to Australia.
And we have no information on what the other two ravens did to piss off the crowd.
Must have been really bad.
We don't speak of
them. Someone flipped
off
the queen.
They can talk, so they could be using some improper language.
Picked up some sailor words from the raven master.
On to our terms. What is zookosis?
That's when you think you are a zoo and filled with animals.
I was going to say it's when you think you're at the zoo, when you're just like at Walmart.
It's when you've been infected by a zoo.
You're a were-zoo?
On the full moon. Okay, this is a type of psychosis shown in zoo animals that isn't seen in their wild counterparts. Mm. Things like repetitive behaviors such as pacing, hair pulling, and licking walls and doors.
Just in general going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example,
I got cabin fever.
Yep. I had a polar bear that swam figure eights in its pool for 12 hours a day. It's not uncommon for zoo animals to be on Valium or Prozac.
Wow.
But zoos will not release the official numbers of how many animals they are treating.
All really depressed polar bears.
Bipolar bears.
Okay.
Pack it up, we're done.
That's lunch, everyone.
What is a melittologist?
Someone who studies sunburns?
The melittologist is the person who's in charge of tracking the behavior of scary spice.
I don't know if I understand the reference.
Her name is Mel B, I think.
Oh, okay. He's the one that, like, you see videos every once in a while where he brings a piano into the elephant enclosure and plays music for them.
Melittologists study bees.
Ooh.
What?
Mel B.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And then honeybees have their own specialty, which is apiology. Are we ready for our stories?
Yes, yes.
So ready for zoo stories. Do they come with pictures?
Zoo books.
I told you we'd get back to Odabanga.
Yeah.
And his life story.
Oh,
sure, he has quite a story.
Was sad. So he was a member of the Mubudi people, as I said, and he lived in what was then the Congo Free State. His people were attacked by the Force Publique, which was a Belgian militia intended to control natives for labor and to exploit the large supply of rubber in the Congo.
Of course.
So far, you know, perfectly happy story.
Good manifest destiny.
Say, how about you cut down your own forest and then we'll sell it?
Banga's wife and two children were murdered by the Force Publique, and he only survived because he was on a hunting trip when the village was attacked. He was later captured by slave traders, then sold to a Samuel Werner for a pound of salt and a bolt of cloth.
Oh, man, that's just got to, like, make you feel real bad about yourself when you see that slide across the counter.
Well, hey, the last guy went for three bolts.
It's like, what kind of fabric is that?
A bag of gold? Maybe a deed to a land? Oh.
Enough to make a jacket.
Almost.
So Werner was attempting to collect people to create an anthropological exhibit. He would later claim that he rescued Banga from cannibals. Because of course he did.
Yes, of course.
It's like, I was going to eat him, but then I thought,
I got it saved you.
Like, I was going to eat him, and then I remembered, no salt anymore.
Oh, my spices.
Banga was exhibited at the World's Fair, then briefly employed by the American Museum of Natural History. And
employed.
Yes, kind of. It was interesting. He was definitely being exploited, but he apparently took great amusement by playing on their stereotypes of his savagery. So they'd be like, get the nice lady a chair, and he'd throw a chair at her.
It's good that he has fun.
So then he ended up at the Bronx Zoo, where his plaque read, "The African Pygmy, Oda Banga, age 23 years, height 4 feet 11, weight 103 pounds, brought from the Congo Free Strait by Dr. Samuel P. Werner, exhibited each afternoon during September."
Feedings at 1 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Somebody just brings him a burger.
I guess I don't understand the meaning of the word pygmy. Like, I thought it was like smaller, like little people, but tribes of them.
Well, 4'11 is pretty small.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Yeah, if The Mummy Returns taught me anything, they're supposed to be smaller.
Just picture Andy at this exhibit like, oh, you call that a pygmy?
So I'm confused why he was only shown in September.
After that, he left.
Oh, okay.
He put in his 2-week notice.
Oh, we're sorry to see you go.
Nothing we can do, I guess.
So this exhibit was protested by the local African-American community and the particularly the African-American clergy.
And hopefully Dabanga.
The New York Times dismissed the complaints as absurd and went on to say, "We do not quite understand all the emotion which others are expressing in the matter. It is absurd to make moan over the imagined humiliation and degradation Banga is suffering. The pygmies are very low in the human scale. And the suggestion that Banga..."
That's fine.
This is science, people.
"And the suggestion that Banga should be in a school instead of a cage ignores the high probability that school would be a place from which he could draw no advantage whatsoever. The idea that men are all much alike except as they have had or lacked opportunities for getting an education out of books is now far out of date."
Wow.
Where do I get one of these copies of the human scale?
Yeah, where do I fall on the human scale?
Yeah.
How tall are you?
I don't think I want to know, actually.
After he left the zoo, he went on to work in a tobacco factory, where he was considered very useful because he could climb the poles to get the tobacco leaves without a ladder.
Okay.
He made a plan to return to the Congo, but his plans were interrupted by World War I, upon which he killed himself.
Why? Oh,
why did he kill himself?
Yeah.
He had a hard life, and he was sad, and he couldn't go home.
Okay. I was like, I can't imagine World War I having much an impact on him and his factory. Like, I hope he wouldn't get drafted.
I think he just couldn't leave, and he was desperate to leave. Ships weren't running.
I guess.
But he survived for so long. Just wait a couple years.
Let's all say that we wouldn't know how we would fare in a similar situation.
Sure.
True. I've never had my wife and children murdered and then been put in a zoo, so.
Not yet.
But I also have not thrown a chair at a lady.
Opportunity knocks.
Let's pick up the spirits a bit with stories of animal attacks.
Yay!
Yay!
So first we're going to talk about Gugu.
Sounds dangerous.
The panda who hates people.
Oh, no.
That's or maybe like he just show. Really likes legs. Gugu is a 19-year-old male panda in the Beijing Zoo who has attacked three people.
Wow.
if you think about it, that's not that bad. That averages, you know, one attack every 6 years.
But he's a panda.
But I think he's like wrecking the curve for the rest of the pandas. Yeah.
So the thing about Gugu is he's a panda.
Yeah.
You know, fat, cuddly, eats bamboo. And people seem to forget that he's a 240-pound bear.
Yeah.
Also, his enclosure is set up with a very jumpable 5-foot fence on the human side. And a
very jumpable, you say.
And a 10-foot wall on his side, which means people can get in, but have a hard time getting out.
Wow.
Oh.
The first attack occurred in 2006, when a drunk man jumped the fence to give the irresistibly cuddly Gugu a hug.
Let's leg wrestle.
Gugu responded by hugging the man's legs with his teeth. In an attempt to escape, the man tried to bite Gugu back, but said the panda's fur was too thick to do any actual damage.
Give you a taste of your own medicine, panda.
Gugu's thought of everything.
I better chew off my own legs before he can.
That'll show him.
Keepers were able to get Gugu off him, and the man was hospitalized. Gugu was apparently off his feed for a full half day.
Aww. Got time out for chewing off a drunk man's legs?
The second attack occurred in 2007, when a 15-year-old boy jumped the fence and entered the exercise area where Gugu and another panda were being fed. Gugu, who apparently felt he needed a signature move, went for the legs again.
I have my thing.
According to medical officials, the damage was to the boy was so bad that his bones were showing and chunks of his flesh were left behind in the ambulance.
Wow.
Oh my.
And in the bear.
Yeah.
I don't think they normally eat boys.
Yeah, but they should. That's the weird thing about pandas is they're still set up like carnivores. And that's why they have to eat so much bamboo.
Maybe Gugu was just testing the waters.
The attack was reported by witnesses to have lasted 3 to 4 minutes. After this attack, the zoo considered raising the height of the fence, but decided that it would interfere with people seeing the pandas.
The zoo considered raising the height of the fence, but decided it was a good punishment for idiots.
Yeah.
In 2009, Gugu got his third taste of legs. A man climbed into the pen to retrieve a toy his son had dropped.
Well, what are you going to do when you hop down a 10-foot fence?
Well, he immediately discovered he couldn't get back out.
Yeah.
Wait a sec.
Oh, God. If it was easy, the pandas would have done it all along.
Gugu attacked, refusing to release the man so that the zoo staff had to use tools to pry him free.
Quick, get the car, Jack.
I don't know what tools. It just says tools.
Give me like a straight edge or something.
The man suffered damage to his ligaments, requiring surgery, and also gave us this wonderful quote. The panda is a national treasure, and I love and respect him, so I didn't fight back.
Wow.
How's that for dedication?
It's like, what a patriot.
I mean, I think that's a way to go, though. Like, for your excuse afterwards, like, yeah, I didn't want to hurt the bear. Yeah.
You just imagine the American version of this is someone stands stoically, like, saluting as a bald eagle rips him to pieces.
Would have been an affront to the country.
It's a tear.
If I'm
going
to be ripped apart by something, it may as well be something that was on my truck.
So what, a woman in a bikini?
Yeah.
So next we're going to talk about Poquito. And I suspect many of our listeners have heard this story, but it's great and offers an important lesson. So we're going to talk about it anyway.
I haven't.
Do they intentionally give the most dangerous animals cute names?
I feel that's one part of Gugu's rage.
Yeah. As long as we don't talk about fluffers, I don't think I could take it.
Destroyer of men.
So Poquito is a gorilla in the Rotterdam Zoo in the Netherlands. And he had a big fan in a woman who came to visit him about 4 times a week. Indeed, she'd been visiting Poquito since he was a baby at the Berlin Zoo.
They were best friends.
She thought so. While visiting, she'd stare lovingly into Poquito's eyes and smile adoringly at him.
No, you're not supposed to do these
things.
Don't
do that.
He loved it.
Some red flags going up.
Poquito would return the affectionate smiles.
Like she's just coming and antagonizing him 4 days out of the week.
Poquito just thinks of her as his nemesis.
So as far as she was concerned, Poquito's smiling back was proof that they had a special bond.
They had a special
Look how big he's smiling.
Indeed, even after the zoo staff told the woman that Bokito would interpret her staring and smiling as a threat display, and she was disturbing him, she could not be deterred.
What do those people with degrees know?
She kept up her visits until 2007, when, after she left the enclosure, Bokito decided that they should continue their conversation elsewhere.
I'm tired of this bitch.
He threw down his food and said, "Enough!"
He escaped his enclosure, tracked the woman down, sat on her, broke her bones, dragged her 10 meters, and bit her over 100 times.
Oh my God.
In her own living room.
He went on a rampage through the cafeteria just for good measure.
Who else wants some?
Been holding this in for years. My first memory is of this woman antagonizing me.
The woman is quoted as saying, "He is and remains my darling."
Oh, God.
Sure.
Lesson learned?
Afterward, a local life insurance agency released special Bokito viewers, visors that hid the directions of people's gaze so that they could safely stare lovingly at the gorillas.
That's okay, I guess.
Actually, I do remember this story now that you're telling it. They were called Bokito Keekers.
Yep.
And they won some sort of like design contest for that year.
It just seems like he was just so done. He's like, okay.
I think it's sort of terrifying that he could have escaped the cage like at any time.
Yeah, seriously. And just, I figure every day he's just like, man, if she comes back tomorrow, I am serious this time. I am just going to, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah,
his friends were egging him on.
Do it, Bokito.
Bokito's little escape is a good segue to our second topic, which is escapes.
Mm.
First, there's Ken Allen, an orangutan at the San Diego Zoo.
It's a first and last name.
It's very formal.
Gives you a business card.
It's Mr. Allen, please.
So tell me about Dr. Allen.
So born in the 1970s, he started his escape career by unscrewing the bolts to the metal mesh on his playpen, wandering around the nursery at night and returning before morning and screwing the mesh back on behind him.
Wow.
The keepers probably should have taken this as a sign to be careful. In 1985, he made his first escape, scaling a rock retaining wall and wandering placidly through the zoo, admiring the other animals and generally behaving like any other tourist.
Morning.
His keepers were able to gently lead him back to his enclosure.
Oh, come on now.
The zoo extended the wall around his enclosure by 4 feet, but this didn't slow Ken Allen down. A few weeks later, he escaped again. This time, he tracked down the enclosure of his nemesis, an orangutan named Otis, and threw rocks at him.
How you like me now, Otis?
Hey, piece of shit.
Oh, look at me, one name Otis.
We've got a handful of rocks and a pocket full of churros.
You will call me Mr. Allen.
The time after that, he escaped by prying open the window with the help of another orangutan, and he went on another nice stroll. Notably, Ken Allen never tried to escape while his keepers were watching, even when they disguised themselves as tourists to try to catch him at it.
I know a plant when I see one, you narc.
The zoo added electric wire at the top of the enclosure and hired professional rock climbers to help them locate potential handholds that Ken Allen might be using.
This would have been your calling, Sean.
I know.
Heavy boulder on the side of the enclosure.
Eventually, they brought in female orangutans in hopes they'd distract him. Instead, the females started escaping, too.
I was going to say, he held escape workshops.
In all, he escaped 9 times, and the zoo spent $40,000 on security before they got him to stop escaping.
Man.
Now he's a consultant to help them better their security.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like the orangutan version of, oh crap, what's that guy's name from Catch Me If You Can?
Crap.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
That's the one.
Abigail something.
Yeah, Abagnale.
Abagnale, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I'd heard something a while ago that basically, like, if a zoo wants to test a new enclosure to see how safe it is, they plunk an orangutan down in it. And if the orangutan can't get out, nothing can get out.
But also they have to not be watching.
Yeah.
So everybody turns their backs.
Next we have a story of a tiger who escaped the wild, at least for a little bit.
Okay.
Escaped the wild?
Mm-hmm. This was a zoo in India. A wild tiger walked into the zoo and lurked longingly around the enclosure where their female tiger was.
Ah. Just imagine the zookeepers coming in the morning like, wait a second, wait a second. One, two.
So initially, the zoo gathered a 20-person team to deal with the tiger. But instead of going through with it, they just opened the door to the female's cage and the wild tiger walked right in.
Gotcha.
No, she has a restraining order.
For a few weeks, this tiger hung out with his new girlfriend and enjoyed the pampered life. Mm-hmm. They brought him food. He didn't have to worry about, you know, any sort of hunters or anything. He just got to chill. He had a lady. Then apparently he got bored. So he hopped the two-story wall, destroying the camera that would have caught his escape on the way out, and disappeared as quickly as he'd come.
Leave no evidence!
Then he went into the surveillance room and destroyed all the footage.
They have not been able to find him since.
Huh. Hmm.
Or was he ever really there in the first place?
Ghost tiger.
What we need is stories of his children growing up to try and find him.
Yeah.
Dad, you never cared about me.
That's a good movie.
Last, we're going to talk about a more recent escape. A jaguar named Valerio escaped his enclosure in the New Orleans Zoo. I think this was this year.
Huh.
It's believed he escaped by chewing a hole in the stainless steel mesh barrier on the roof of his enclosure.
Okay, then. Well,
was there a hole or wasn't there?
Yes, they found a hole that was 10 inches by 8 inches, or 25 centimeters by 20 centimeters.
It's either that or a really convenient meteor strike.
But I was just impressed by how small that is.
Yeah.
To get a jaguar out.
Cats.
Yeah.
If you remember our previous episode where we mentioned surplus killing, we mentioned that cats are big surplus killers. So Valeria killed 5 alpaca, 3 alpaca. Foxes, and an emu while he was out.
Jeez.
Just sampling things.
Apparently his enclosure was pretty good for keeping in jaguars, but not any of the other enclosures.
Didn't make any of the other enclosures jaguar proof.
He was going to leave, but the alpaca spit in his face.
If this zoo is set up like any other zoo, he was like touring the whole zoo to find the animals, because the alpaca are not going to be next to the emu.
Probably not.
He just had a list of favorite flavors.
He just had a list of things that he always wanted to try.
Now that I'm out of joint, I'm going to get some alpaca, going to get some emu.
He was tranquilized and returned to his exhibit. They have no intent of putting him down. They say he didn't do anything wrong.
Or plugging the hole. I'm sure he learned his lesson.
They said they're looking into strengthening the barriers around his enclosure.
Calling a committee.
We'll get around to it.
We gave him a stern talking to. He seemed to take it seriously.
We have a guy next to the hole with a spray bottle.
No.
And a no-no can.
It's full of alpaca teeth.
Just hear it getting shook violently in the night.
All right. That's it from me. Does anyone have any personal stories?
We have like an almost zoo, or at least we used to. I haven't checked in a while here in Reno.
We have a couple.
And they used to have the saddest liger in the whole world. It looked sad and dumpy and would just kind of be like, oh.
I feel like most liger pictures I've seen are kind of like that, though. I don't think it's just here.
What am I? And then you've taken us to your zoo several times.
We have a very nice zoo.
It is very nice.
Last time we were at the zoo, in a very like YouTube video sort of moment, we were at the lion exhibit and the lion came walking by the glass and everyone was like, oh, wow, it's amazing. It's great. And then the lion like slowly turned away and then just pissed all over the glass.
It was pretty great.
We went to a zoo in Japan where there was a hippopotamus. And he had like a smaller enclosure. And
I've heard this story.
All these people are just sitting there watching this hippopotamus like, oh, it's so cute. Hippopotamus walks over to the wall and makes a Pollock painting by muck spreading. And this thing was like, it started pooping and then its tail turned into like a meat slicer. Like, and it
That's
got everywhere. And all the tourists started leaving except for like the four of us who were there who were just laughing hysterically.
I think we're ready to move on to what are your morals worth?
Mm-hmm.
So this one requires a little context, so settle in while I do a little more storytelling. In 2014, the Copenhagen Zoo killed and then publicly dissected one of their giraffes, Marius.
Wow, I would love to have seen that.
The meat was then fed to the lions.
Okay.
Marius was healthy, but his genes were considered overrepresented in the giraffe population. He had two brothers. They felt sterilization would damage his quality of life. And while the zoo...
So they killed him.
Unlike death.
While the zoo received offers to house Marius from other zoos and private collectors, they stayed firm in their decision to slaughter him.
Okay.
So how much would I have to pay you...
It's a far better place you go now.
...to kill and dissect a healthy two-year-old giraffe?
Oh, man.
Two-year-old? How big is a two-year-old giraffe?
I think they're full size.
That's bigger than me, for sure.
Knee-high to a colossus.
How did they kill it?
Okay, yeah. So that's interesting.
So I have to take it down by hand. That's a tall order.
They just gave it to the lions.
Because the zoo said that they used, like, a bolt gun.
Okay.
Like in a slaughterhouse?
Yeah, like what you would use in a slaughterhouse. But the person who said they did it said he used a rifle.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. I mean, same sort of thing, I guess.
I'm not too attached to giraffes. They're like long horses.
They're like really tall horses.
It's like the opposite of a hippopotamus. You got the water horse and the long horse.
Yeah, the sky horse. Yeah.
Did they learn anything from the dissection, or was it just kind of for funsies?
It was for the public to observe. Like, they weren't going to learn anything. They know what's inside a giraffe, but it gave the public a chance to observe and dissection.
We know what's in a giraffe. There's not going to be any surprises for us scientists in there.
Surprise, it's candy.
This is for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with every part of this except killing a healthy giraffe.
Yeah.
So that's the only hurdle I got to get over.
Do I get to keep the rifle or bolt gun?
No, it's Sioux property.
What about...
You could probably keep a hunk of giraffe.
Yeah, just one spot.
This is my lucky giraffe leg.
You could take its weird little horns.
Yeah.
And wear them on your head.
How morose.
These look like Shrek or something.
Oh, man.
This is not like a super high bar for me, because it seems like...
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't going to be like our normal ones.
Yep, 5,000. I think I'd do that.
I don't know the giraffe beforehand, so I'm not like emotionally attached to it. I'm going to go like...
This giraffe is a stranger to me.
Like $800.
They are going to send you a book of the giraffe's poetry to read ahead of time.
Don't tell me your name!
You're loading the rifle. Now, we've never met before, have we?
Everybody's gathered around like, let me show you this one neat trick.
So you just said just to kill the giraffe? Like, I don't have to do the autopsy or anything?
No, you're killing and dissecting.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know much about dissecting it. It's probably going to be a real botch job.
Going to have to do your best, and people are watching. Those kids need to learn about giraffe anatomy somehow. It's all on you,
Adam.
Take it
till you make it.
This is the spleen?
That's the tongue, sir.
I'd probably go for... like Sean said, I'm not crazy about the idea of killing a healthy animal, just like for no other options, I guess.
But they had other options. They just chose not to take them.
Like, nah, fuck it.
So we don't have the postage to ship a giraffe.
You know how many stamps this giraffe would need?
We promised Jerry he'd be able to shoot one of the animals for his retirement.
I don't know, 1,000.
All right, I think I'm going to set the high bar as usual. I also am uncomfortable with killing a perfect, healthy giraffe whose only sin is having two brothers. it makes me angry because, you know, zoo breeding is selective.
Sounds biblical when you put it that way.
You know, they chose to have another giraffe.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like when you're a kid and you want a puppy, and then you're like, you know, I don't feel like taking care of this puppy.
So your parents make
they
you eat it.
They tried to flush it down the toilet.
I hated that time I had to dissect a puppy in front of all my friends. So I think I'm going to charge 15,000.
Okay. That's still pretty low for you.
Yeah.
Well, no, ain't. What did you say? No.
$100.
Sean had what, 5,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your ill-gotten $800, Andy?
I'm going to have somebody tailor me a giraffe suit.
That'd be pretty cool.
All right, I think that's all I have for this week. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
How do we start?
Say, I start by saying hello, everyone, and welcome back. But you can start however you like.
You can change it up. Do whatever you want.
Sing the whole theme song to welcome back, Carter.
Yeah, like just whatever feels most natural.
Blow a kazoo.
And go. Just let it let it blow out.
Yep. Naturally go. Go. Just now. Go.
Okay.